the theme for this evening is then that we have to talk about something positive. And everything you say has to be in a positive nature. The reason is that Igor sort of brought the topic of mental health onto the horizon. And I think it should be one of the big topics that we should always be able to discuss in the reader community. And in my little text that I distributed yesterday, I had a very positive experience on Saturday evening, eating something completely new and being very, very surprised, positively surprised, and meeting some new people, some different people, having a good meal, a good wine. So let's start this highly positive discussion by you telling something positive that happened in the last 24 hours in your own life. Yeah, something positive. So Igor, you said in the introduction you are at your parents' place at the moment, so that is probably quite positive. Mama's good cooking, etc., etc.
Well, I think something positive I have been noticing here in my parents' house is it's how when even when we think very differently from other people, how it is possible to find something we think similar. So it's always I think the world, the media is always trying to force us to see the difference, but if we make a little bit of effort, we can find the things we think similarly, and it helps us get along in society. So, of course, it's not happening just in the last 24 hours, but I think it's something I have been noticing a lot here in my parents' house because I have many relatives who think very different, not only about politics, but about a lot of other things. But it's very cool when we meet each other because I'm living very far away and we just focus on what we like, and it's a quite good experience, quite relieving as well.
Can you give us a concrete example?
So the obvious one is politics, of course. So I have many relatives that think very different from me, but I think another one because this one is very obvious. So I have Let's say I have an uncle that we don't agree very much with family matters. So my grandma passed away a couple of years ago, and there are always a lot of things to solve. And we disagreed with a lot of things, but we really enjoy running. So we met each other yesterday when we talked a lot of running. We drank beer together. And it was very relieving to know that you can get along with people even when you disagree in some topics.
Well, as I keep saying, it is always important to agree to disagree, yeah, because you can't agree with everybody on everything, but if there is enough common ground, then there are some areas which are not so critical. Okay, so you are still at your parents' place because of logistics reason, let's say it this way.
Yes.
Describe the family atmosphere a little bit.
I'm here in the living room, and the house is very quiet because only my stepmother is in the house and she's watching TV. There's a very small dog here, very funny, and it's very joyful to spend afternoon here because it's quiet and I am by myself. Seems like I'm in my house.
So that leads me to think that when you are at home, in your own house or your own apartment, it's not as quiet, yeah? It's always noisy and somebody's doing something, or is it just a little more quiet than normal?
In my house, it's more quiet, but I think it's different because here I see movements. I see people walking by. My dad arrives at 6 p.m. My stepmother starts making coffee. There are movements. I feel like I'm not alone, but it's quiet. In my
Okay.
house, I feel alone and very quiet.
Isma, tell us a positive story, please, that happened to you in the last 24, 48, or whenever hours.
I suppose I have three good positive things to share with you. The first one, today is November 1st, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And the second, it's a new day, because we talked, I talked to you 3 days ago and with and to Igor a week ago. Today, it's Tuesday, a new day. Second thing. The third thing, that my mom is 84, and today I realize more and more that he needs me a lot. And fortunately, I'm here in this city, although I don't like here, but it's a pleasure to retribute to her what she had done for me in my 18 years, yeah, because till 18 I lived with her, and according to her limit, I think she did the best for me, and now I'm retributing her.
Yes,
I think
yes,
it's great. I practice Pilates twice a week with her. I take her and every Tuesday and Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your mother. Is she fit for her 84 years? I mean, if she does Pilates twice a week, that already says a lot. But tell us about your mother. Who is this woman?
She, at the end of 2019, he was possible to walk 3 times a week, 3 kilometers. I walked with her. And she was always doing aqua gymnastics, but in the after pandemic, not worse in physical terms.
Mm-hmm.
But I think considering that she's 84, she's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the instructor gave me some different exercise that she gives to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's in a good shape, and she practices bike indoor once in a while,
mm-hmm.
as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she is physically relatively fit. What about mentally? Does she?
She had a dementia crisis 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but. Fortunately, the doctor prescribed her a good medicine, and now she's read about her mind. No problem. Of course, she forgets something, but not so complicated. And she still prepares her food and does some things at home. Yeah.
Let's go back to Igor. Igor, you said last week that you have a large family. So I suppose a family gathering, a meeting around the table to have a meal together, have some drinks together. If I was sitting at the table, what would I be seeing and experiencing?
And that's a very interesting question, because it has been changing a lot during my lifetime. So although my family always gather around the table, I would say when I was 10 years old, maybe 15 years old, people would sit at the table and eat and talk and have a good time. And it would be, I would say, 1-2 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
But as I grew up, people started to be around the table, but with two main differences. The first one, that people don't stay actually seated. People are around, but they are drinking beer, and they stand up. They go to the kitchen and come back. It's a very dynamic. The people don't just stay seated.
Mm-hmm.
And the timeline is very short. I have the impression that today, 30 minutes long, it's a very long family meeting at the table. Seems like people are more agitated, that people cannot concentrate or don't want to concentrate. That today, it's like people are around the table, we have two tables in my parents' home. So we have a living room table that we rarely use, very rare. And we have a kitchen table that we use every day, and we are always around. So my stepmother are cooking or doing something in the kitchen. I like to stand up and drink beer. My dad likes to sit. My sister is at the table, but she's playing games. Mm-hmm. It's very dynamic. And one thing I'd like to say is that I spent almost 3 months in the south of France, in Valence, in 2015, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a really good memory because I had two companions. So one man, I would say 65 years old man, he spoke English and we communicated a lot because I was doing volunteering and he would pass me instructions. He would talk about life with me and things like that. And he had a girlfriend who didn't speak English, just French, but she was extremely gentle with me. So we didn't communicate with words, but she was like my mom. And I have a really, really good memories from that time because I would be invited to family dinners. We would be seated all the afternoon long, eating a lot.
Mm.
Impossible to get up off the table because every time would come more food.
Yeah,
that's something. Of course, I don't know if it's in France it's common, but I have good memories about France because of this family. One interesting thing I remember about those lunches and dinners is that the food would come in phases. It's very funny because in Brazil it's not common. In Brazil, you put everything, you sit and you eat. In France, I experienced, I would say, three families doing that. The dinner were very long, as you said, hours. We are talking about hours, 3-4 hours.
Mm.
And would come the bread. Yep. Everyone would eat. Then would come the cheese. Then would come the salad. Then would come, like in phases. It's exactly. Very interesting.
Isma, family meals. I'm under the impression that your family isn't actually so big as Igor's family seems to be. So family meals, do they play a role or did they play a role in your family as a child or later when you were an adult?
My family isn't big. Maybe if I consider uncle, aunts and cousin, maybe around 50 people, but in two cities. One is far from other around 300 kilometers. Igor maybe have heard Campo Grande and Três Lagoas. Três Lagoas is at the boundary of Mato Grosso do Sul state and São Paulo. But maybe you both can find strange, but I don't like my family. I don't like people for my family. Even with my cousin, I don't have subjects to discuss with them. Of course, when I meet them, I try to be polite, to be considerate, but there isn't a connection.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because we didn't grow up. Oh no, there is another cousin, a cousin. It's almost my age. I have a good relation with him.
Mm-hmm.
He lives here in Campo Grande. Just.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Isma, did you have a happy childhood, a great childhood, a positive childhood, or a difficult one?
No, I think I had a good childhood because till 8, I lived in a farm.
Mm.
And I didn't have colleagues, anyone to play together, just two sisters. And we just found my cousins when we went to the city. And when I was 8, we moved to the city to start studying. And after that, I lived with my cousin more time. And for around 6 years. After that, we moved to another city where I'm living here.
Mm-hmm.
But here, we didn't have so many relatives. But I played soccer a lot, almost every day. Today, I don't play anymore. Mm. But when I was a teenager, I was a fanatic for soccer. And even I would like to be a footballer, but I wasn't good enough to be one.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of my adolescence, I was interested in martial arts. And I practiced a little of karate and taekwondo.
Mm-hmm.
I lived all time with some finger or my one of my foot hurt, but it was normal.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So you had a happy childhood living on a farm, and I suppose helping on the farm as well. What did the farm do? Was it cattle? Was it or was it wheat or what did the farm actually produce?
There were cattle, and some pieces of the farm was cultivated with beans, corn, and rice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
But I didn't work because I lived there till 8. But I have some tasks at the home, for example, to clean the oven, maybe to do the dishes. I had some tasks even before 8 years old.
Yeah, yeah. I think
I don't know how to say when we have some weeds and we have to cut with a tool. I don't know how to say it.
You had to cut them with a scythe or a sickle.
Once I almost lost one of my toe because instead of cut the weeds, I almost cut my toe.
Oh, ouch. Painful. Painful. Okay.
And I had some guns, of course. I don't know how to say in English, maybe a gun point 38. Do you know something like that?
A point 38 caliber. Yeah.
Yeah.
38 millimeter. That's quite a common sort of gun. I think that's probably the most common caliber available as far as I'm.
Yeah. When I was 90, my father let me practice some shots.
Igor. Okay. So you said that your parents were divorced when you were 6 years old. So, and your mother lives not around the corner. Did you have a happy childhood?
Yes. It was quite happy. I was a very troubling child. I enjoyed like doing bullying people, fighting in the streets until I would say 13 years old. I was a very difficult child, but was quite happy. I like to say I did a lot of not very wrong, but like a lot of wrong things when I was a child. Not criminal, but wrong, like social speaking. And now I don't feel like doing anything, so it was good to leave it when I was young.
Okay, so you got it out of the system then, yeah?
Yes, I really. And my dad says the same. Like, he's a very quiet man today. And when we talk about it with him, we say, oh, Dad, why you don't travel? Why you don't do different things? And he say, oh, I did everything when I was young. So now I just want to relax.
Okay.
I feel I'm going to this direction.
Okay. So Ismar grew up on a farm. You grew up in a city then, yeah?
Yeah.
And if you were, how shall we phrase this positively? If you were looking for attention, that means that did you live in a rough neighborhood in town, or did you live in a normal neighborhood?
I wouldn't say it was rough. Like in Brazil, everywhere you are, if you walk a couple kilometers, you're gonna find some rough places. But do you know this program show? I'm trying to remember the name, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Do you remember it? It's a very popular TV show in the United States. It was a very popular TV show because it doesn't exist anymore. It's like a neighborhood where people go to the streets and play. You have many streets, and every street has its groups that are going to play soccer, do skateboarding. It was like that. So I was always in the street, always. It was very hard to go in my home, into my house.
Okay, so you were technically a street kid, yeah?
Totally.
Did this impact on your school?
Oh, yes. I have always been a terrible student. My grades were always very low. Like before the high school, I had to go twice in the same curriculum because I was very bad in everything. I don't regret because today it helped me to understand things way better. And everything I want to learn, I know how I can learn that. If I want to teach something, I think I'm better to teach because I had a lot of difficulty to learn. So I think it was a good journey. Now, for my parents, I don't think so, because they got a lot of trouble. Now, every week they would have to go to the school to talk to a teacher. But for me, it was a great experience. Some people, I have been studying a lot of like methodologies because the thing I'm doing, what I want to do. Something I have been noticing now, it's like school, it's very good for many reasons. But one problem is that they try to fit everyone in the same system. So when we are not able to achieve things in this system, it's very hard for us, but... It's life. I don't know the solution as well.
A few weeks ago, Julia said that she had to give a presentation on positivity, and that she, I think if I remember this correct, the core statement in her presentation was, the older we are, the happier we get or we become. So of the three of us, you and I, we are the oldest. So technically, we should be very, very happy. Isma, are you basically overall a happy man?
We agreed to talk just about positive thing, but it's my positive way of see something. In my opinion, happiness doesn't exist. It's like an illusion that people pursue, but it doesn't exist.
So conversely, sadness shouldn't exist either.
No, of course not. We are constantly changing our humor because we aren't stable, yeah? Then sadness and happiness don't exist. They alternate all the time.
What are we doing when we are laughing or smiling?
We are having good emotions because at the same time, for some reason, if I laugh, I smile, I could be crying or maybe in a melancholic state of mind. For example, people think that happiness is far from them. It's outside. Oh, when I have a BMW, I will be happy. Then people achieve a BMW and isn't happy because he or she wants more and more. That's why happiness doesn't exist.
Basically, people say that the more you have, the less happy you are.
Elon Musk is, as far as I read, is the richest man in the world. His father isn't proud of him. And for sure, Elon Musk wants more and more money. She has bought Twitter this week. I suppose that he wants more and more. For example, Igor had a company. He has sold it, his company, and now he wants another company. We are always want to do new things, to have more things, and as the life goes on.
Okay, Igor, I'm going to throw the ball. I don't know how far you are apart, 900 kilometers from west to east. Igor, the ball is coming to you. I'm going to ask a very simple question. What do you think about ISMA's theory that these things don't exist? And especially from a marketing point of view, because you want to create situations in which people are supposed to be happy. What do you say to ISMA's thoughts?
I think what ISMA was trying to say, I think maybe I'm wrong, but like we cannot categorize happiness or sadness. Like it's very difficult to put this feeling in a box and that's it. I believe that happiness, sadness, anger, a lot of emotions are just states like that you pass by. Like you can't be happy forever, you can't be sad forever. You are just in a mental state that takes some time, but it will pass. About like in the market point of view, like I would say in the neurology point of view, the emotions they are triggered by our basic desires, or we fear something, or we have hope of something. Those are the two basic desires. By marketing point of view, there are books with this theory, which is the I believe, and from that two basic emotions, we're gonna spread to another emotions. But it's more like a state. And about wanting something, I agree. I think. I don't think it's wrong. I think it's human being. I don't see that is a wrong thing. I think human beings always want something. And usually, at least in my perspective, everyone I know that doesn't want something else, doesn't want improve, want, have more things, they are depressive. In my point of view, maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Even like let's say a Buddhist monk, he wants to achieve enlightenment. He wants something. I can't imagine someone living without wanting something. But that's my point of view.
I think wanting to achieve something and then not achieving it can work against you, because maybe the goals are too high or the aspirations are too high, and then people are disappointed, and then the whole thing goes backwards. To come to the end of this discussion today, ISMA, it's Tuesday afternoon, your time, Tuesday evening here in Europe. What do you look forward to doing for the rest of the week?
I hope that the Brazilian population is stay in peace till at the end of the week, and let's wait for maybe a better and pacific new government, and we have a better economy, although we have, I don't know how Igor thinks, but although you have a criminal president, but I will support him that he and his team do the best for our country, our people.
Somehow we can never keep politics out of a discussion. It always seems to come back to us.
I forgot it. Sorry.
Well, maybe that's the sign of the times. Yeah. And I mean, I suppose also because the whole planet was watching what you 220 million people are going to do. On Sunday, which way this country was going to swing.
But if I had a choice, I would like to be born,
Yeah,
I'd like to be born in a 80 million country like Switzerland or something similar to Switzerland, than to have to be born here in a country of 220 million people. Yeah. Here is very complicated.
Okay, so I think that brings another question for a future meeting. Is the grass greener on the other side? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Igor, you are, so we bring back the politics. You are, you are involuntarily detained, at your parents' house because you couldn't actually physically get back to your own place, because of road blockades. So I suppose the highlight of your week will be able to unlock the door to your own house and go back into to your own property. Yeah. You're looking forward to that. Or is there something else that you are looking forward to?
Yeah. Actually, I have another trip. So I'm going, I am the Southeast. Mm-hmm. Curitiba's in the South. And mm-hmm. I have a trip on Thursday to even more south. So I go down to do a training in a city called Porto Alegre in the far south of Brazil. That's my final goal of the week. But there are a lot of things to happen because at first I had to get home in Curitiba. I'm going to do there is a company which I sold my company called the V4, and they hire me twice a month, maybe to do a training there too, because they are always hiring, contracting new franchises. And I go there and train people how to be successful in franchising business. So I'm going to do that. I think that's the plan.
Are you looking forward to this?
Yes, yes, I am. I'm very excited.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to close this meeting and I would like both of you to say something positive at the end of our meeting. Igor, start. Say something positive.
From what I have been experienced, try always to find common ground. That's a good way to go. And a very important technique for negotiations.
Finding the common ground. Okay. Isma, a positive closing statement from you, sir.
Yesterday, we had a heavy rain here, and it was possible to diminish the scalding temperature that we had. And today, the weather is very good. We had 11 Celsius degrees in the morning, and now maybe is less than 15. It's marvelous.
Okay.
And I hope that it lasts for at least 3 days more.
Okay, so on Friday you can tell me about the weather and if it has improved or remained as you wish. Okay.
Everyone here wears a jacket today.
A jacket, yeah?
Yeah.
I wish you a pleasant afternoon. I will see you, Isma, on Friday, and Igor, we re-meet again on Monday.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to hearing all about Spencer Greenberg Part 2, yeah?
Okay.
See what happens there.